Why do we always tell ourselves our problem and then wonder how to get rid of it? This is Dr. Harrell Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with a thought for today. Why do we tell ourselves our problems and talk about our problems and then try to get rid of them and wonder why they don't go away? Well, the more emphasis that we give to the things that we don't want, the more we have those things that we don't want. But do we really don't want them? And the truth is, we really want them. People want to die. They want to die and they want to leave the old rat race. They want to leave the old circumstance. I loved what Anita and whoever else wrote me these letters from Switzerland said. Heinz was going through a rather difficult time. And Heinz was sort of sick and tired of all the things, and he was making it tough on himself. He really wanted to die. And so his family was visiting with him, and they were talking to him. And then he had he went into a coma, enforced coma by the hospital, which made his body relax long enough to get its breath. And so for 24 hours, he was in this forced coma. And when he came out of the enforced coma, he was in intensive care because, I mean, he's just coming back from death, in other words. And in other words, he had decided in that coma to live and not to die. And he had decided in that coma to let all the other things be passed, and all of his fighting to live and fighting the illness and fighting everything, he just let go and said, hey, I'm whole and perfect. I'm okay. If the doctors tell me to do something, I'm going to do it. Whatever it is, I'm going to just live and I'm going to be happy with it. I'm not going to put up a big fight to die. I'm going to put up a happy experience to live. And if we could all do something like that, how much better it would be, rather than fighting our problems. Now, argue for your
limitations,
and they are
yours.
Argue for your limitations, and they are yours. Now, arguing for your limitations, I say, Ingeborg, go sweep the sidewalk out front. Ingeborg said, I just finished. And I said, Ingeborg, I didn't ask you whether you did it or did not do it. I said, do it. But I did it. Ingeborg, don't fight for your limitations because they're going to be yours. I'm asking you to do it. Well, why do you ask me to do it when I already did it? Ingeborg, this is a school. You're in a monastery. And you're going to be asked to do things which will test your credulity. And in testing your credulity, in testing your actuality, your actual experiences, you're going to say, well, why should I do it if I already did it? Well, because you're learning to do things without judgment. You're learning to do things without being possessed, without being touched. You're learning to follow directions. And pretty soon, as you learn to follow directions, then there's nothing to fight. There's nothing to fight. A mother says to the child, go wash your hands. He says, I did. She says, if that's washed hands, then I'll kiss a pig. And she says, he's going to kiss a pig. So the mother says, won't do. You go back in the bathroom there, you wash your hands. Now wash good. Now you wash your hands, and if you get your hands washed good, that's great. But if you come back here and your hands are not washed good, the next step is to wash behind your ears. And then the next step is to take a whole bath. And then the next step is to go to bed without dinner. Because if I ask you to do something, you just do it. And then, here at the monastery, we had the School of the Master, 3 months. And in the School of the Master, everyone naturally used the sink to wash their hands or whatever. But when they were done using the sink, they had to wipe that sink so dry there wasn't a drop coming out of the faucet or anything. The sink was dry. Now, why? That's a bunch of garbage. That's a bunch of garbage. Well, they did it. And I would go and check. And if there's a drop in the sink, everybody had to go and wipe the sink. individually, not just the one who left the drop in there. Everybody. Well, I talked with Herbert Marti back home in Switzerland years later, and I said, Herbert, I see your sink is just glowing. And he says, yeah. He said, ever since the seminar, my sinks are always perfect. My towels are always hung perfectly, tip to tip. Everything is in order. And simple little thing like that they learned just in a 3-month School of the Master program, and many other things. But you see, when you learn to do these things, then you have a habit that is good. If your habit is to leave your clothes fall where it may when you get undressed and get ready for bed or whatever, that's a bad habit. When you pick up your clothes and put them away, as you are taking them off, you just hang them nicely on the hanger or put them in the hamper or whatever you're going to do, that's a nice habit. When we develop habits, then we don't have to have that experience of, what was it?
Of limitation.
Argue with your limitation and it is yours. Yeah. Argue with your limitation and it's yours. None of the monks dared to argue with me about what I asked them to do in the School of the Master during that 3-month period. They didn't dare. They might have, under their breath, complained, but they didn't dare because they knew that they would do it or go home. I wouldn't fool around with them. I didn't give a hoot and holler in hell if anybody was there or nobody was there. All I cared was they wanted the School of the Master, they got it. And everyone who was at the School of the Master will never forget it. Not as a bad thing, but as a memory of magic that happened to them. Because they let go of all the inhibitions that they had. If you argue for your
limitation, and they are yours.
If you argue for your limitations, they are yours. If you get away from arguing at your limitations, if a little boy doesn't argue with his mom about, you know, putting his clothes away or washing his hands and before dinner and so forth, if that becomes a habit, then as he grows up, he teaches that to his children. Now, is it necessary to wash your hands before you eat? No. Is it hygiene to wash your hands before you eat? No. Is it antiseptic hygiene? Is it clinical? Is it good? No. Why does a doctor wash his hands after he works with a patient? He wants to come to the new patient with a feeling of purity, with a feeling of cleanliness. The doctor can't get the disease germs off of his hands. He can't get all of the junk off his hands. It's all right in his head. He cannot get, because in everyone's body, you look up in any scientific reference, in every human being's body is every possible disease germ known and unknown to them. And it is only when we feel we transmit it, like we call it a communicable disease, that we transmit it. But if we learn good habits, we like ourselves better, and we think everything is much better. And one little girl in Florida, this Florida girl, she's a 13-year-old girl, she wrote a paper saying there is less undesirable bacteria on a toilet seat than there is on the handle of a doorknob, you know? Less, and she put it went into some Discovery magazine, some report that they had, but and then it was found to be true. Now, how this little girl checked around on the toilet seat covers and on the doorknobs, that's her business, but it's interesting, isn't it? We make a big fuss over a lot of things, and the real fuss is our attitude. If our attitude is pure and whole and beautiful, and we stop arguing for our limitations, then everything is good. Everything is good. Now, we had an argument here last night about sex, and how sex is good or not good, or wonderful or not wonderful, or how it is helpful as people walk their spiritual path, or it's not helpful. Well, there is no sex. It is an attitude. If you have an attitude that you want sex and you need sex, then that possesses you. See? And we should be unpossessed, untouched. But if you, in the normal activities of your life, are in circumstances where sex is the proper thing to do, or the harmonious thing to do, then do it, and no big deal. No big deal. But if you're possessed by it, I got to have an apple with my breakfast every single day, or else my breakfast is not there. Oh, my goodness, what if they ran out of apples? You'd have to stop and wait until they got the apples before you could have your breakfast. That means you wouldn't get your lunch and you wouldn't get your supper, because you know they follow breakfast. And it's silly. We build up these silly, stupid attitudes about ourselves, that these things are so important and they're so vital. And we argue for our limitations, and my goodness gracious, they sure are ours. They certainly are ours. Now, what are you going to argue for? I'm not going to argue for anything. I'm just going to know that I like me. I'm divine order. I'm peace. I like me. I'm divine order. I'm peace. And I think that the people in my world are exactly like me. Beautiful, dramatic, dynamic, fantastic. Well, the comment came up about a nudist resort where people go naked, and the comment was that if you see a beautiful body in a man or a woman, it's the exception instead of the common thing. And that's what we go wrong about. We should like ourselves just the way we are and enjoy ourselves just the way we are in every possible way, and if we do that, we love life a lot more, and we have a lot more fun in life. That's why we teach here at the University of Healing, at the Absolute Monastery, be yourself and have fun, because that's what you are anyhow. And if you're having fun moaning and groaning, have at it. If you're having fun being happy and joyful and peaceful and rich, healthy, dynamic, alive, surrounded by friends, beautiful circumstances, wow! That's for me. How about you?
That's for
me. Have a lovely morning. I love you. I love you. I love you.